Okay, the Gemara now that we brought in this machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, regarding the issue of bitlo velo bitlo, kimo velo kimo, which was the machlokes regarding every lav hanitek la'aseh, every negative commandment that was given to repair an aseh. So the question is, how does the nature of how it works? We stumbled onto this because we said the answers that we gave for Rabbi Yochanan only fit according to one opinion, but then we said, but that happens to be his opinion, so it's okay. So what is, we'll just review this machlokas again. When the rabbis say you did a lav, and in order to not get lashed, you have to now fulfill the aseh, is it the category of bitlo velo bitlo, that as long as you have the ability to do the positive commandment and you have not actively taken away that possibility, then you can't get lashed, right? If you could, I could do it later. I don't have to do it now. I can do it later. So if he does it later, fine. So we don't lash him right away.
We don't know if he's going to do it or not.
Sam, we had a whole discussion yesterday, so I'm not going to review the whole discussion.
No,
that's fine. It's okay. So anyway, but you can only, in other words, you've done the lav. The lashes only come when it's impossible to repair the lav. You'd have to actively do something to make it that you could not repair the lav. Like we said in the case where the man rapes the woman, he's not allowed to divorce her. If he divorced her, he should get lashed. But no, he could remarry her. So if he doesn't remarry her today, I can remarry her tomorrow. I can marry her the next week. You can't lash me yet. Until he does something that makes it he can't marry her. What would that be? If he makes a vow, you can't have any benefits from me. An irrevocable vow. Well, now he can't marry her. Then we lash him. Because at that point, he cannot do the positive mitzvah anymore. That's called bitlo velo bitlo. It's if you nullify it, you get lashed. But lo bitlo, if you didn't nullify it, you don't get lashed. Right. Now that's Rabbi Yochanan's position. Reish Lakish says, no, it's kimo velo kimo. That as soon as you transgress the lav, you should be lashed immediately. And only if you immediately do the positive mitzvah. Beis Din takes you in and says, listen, you weren't supposed to divorce her. Marry her now. And the guy says, I'll think about it. Bam! They lash him. You got to do it on the spot. Kimu, if he fulfills the aseh, he does not get lashed. Lo kimu, he does not fulfill the aseh already, he does get lashed. So now the Gemara is going to...
That makes more sense. I think so.
Second one. Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. Yeah, it's okay. You have who to rely on. Now what the Gemara does is, okay, let's take this argument, and what concept does this machlokas hinge upon? And the fact that Reish Lakish says you don't have to do it right away. Rabbi Yochanan says you do. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't have to do it right away. Reish Lakish says you don't have to. It depends on a deeper machlokas. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to take it even a step further. And that's what the Gemara now says. B'mai komiflagi. In what issue do they argue? What's the underlying issue on this? And you see a very interesting concept. You might not catch it right away, but it will be explained as we go ahead. There's a whole other machlokes when you warn someone. When you warn someone and you say, don't do this. Because if you do this, you're going to get this punishment. That's what, in many sins, you need to get a warning. Death penalty, a lot of things need a warning. So let's say we warn the guy that he wants to divorce this woman that he raped. So we're going to warn him, yeah? We got to remember, you don't lash a guy unless he's been warned. That's for sure, he's been warned. So we got to warn him and say, you know, you can't divorce her. Divorce her, it's not good. So now the question is, when you warn someone, does the warning have to be an absolute warning? Which means, I'm warning you, and if you do this, it's 100% sure you will get this punishment. Now you figure, well, what's the question? Of course it's 100% you're going to get this. I'm warning you not to desecrate the Shabbos, because if you do, you're going to get stoned. Yeah, that's for sure going to happen 100% of the time. But there could be certain situations where, although the warning is given, it's no guarantee that even if you transgress, that you will be punished. And that is called a hasras safek, a warning as to the doubtful, which has a doubtful outcome. In other words, normally we'd say, when you make the warning has to be that if you're going to do this, there's no question, you are going to get this punishment. That's hasras vadai. That's a warning that you will certainly get this punishment. Why do we need this? Because that's part of the deterrent. If the guy knows, he's going to get stoned, and you're still doing it, you're mechutz of you, you deserve to get killed. Right? If you know you're going to get lashed and you do it anyway, the guy says, don't eat treif. If you eat treif, you're going to get lashed. Now that he knows how bad it is and he's still doing it, he deserves to get lashed. That's part of the warning. But what if when you warn him and both us and him know that time of warning, not necessarily he's going to get lashed? We'll see. We'll see. Now the question is that considered a valid warning? So that if he will can get lashed, he will get lashed. Or do we say that a doubtful warning is not a strong enough warning to provide him with the punishment? That's the question. It'll be better understood when we do a little more. Let's just hold off the questions. You don't have enough information to ask an intelligent question yet, because I'm just saying you need more information. That's all I'm saying, because there's a lot of things that you don't understand. That is the general idea. Generally speaking, a warning is clear. Don't do this. The punishment will come. And you showed your temerity to do it anyway. That's why you're going to get it. But if you warn him and the guy knows, I know, but I may not get this punishment for whatever reason, which we'll get to. And therefore, the warning is in a doubtful situation. It's doubtful you'll get the punishment. So now the question is that considered a valid enough warning? So that when, yes, it can get the punishment, he gets it. Or do we, because it was a good enough warning, or we say, no, it wasn't a good enough warning. Since the guy wasn't certain he was going to get lashed, he didn't take it that seriously. So even if maybe he should get lashed, he won't get lashed. Is it a strong enough warning if the warning is not with a 100% ramification? We will see the situation. But that is the general idea. So their argument is, behasras safek mipalgi. They have an argument. When you give a warning and it's doubtful if you're definitely going to get the punishment or not, then if he should get it, can the court administer it? So Mar Savar, one holds Hasra Safek Shma Hasra, and not for sure warning is still considered a warning. Okay, and therefore you will still get lashed. And that's the opinion of Rav Yochanan, who says, bitla velo bitla. Remember, the case of bitla velo bitla means only when he actively makes it that he can't do it will he get lashed. So if you, when you have a lav anitik lase, is that a for sure warning you're going to get lashed or not? Well, I don't know. You know, let's see if I fix it up or not. Right? What do you mean? You got to fix it up. Well, no, I'm going to take my time. And until I nullify it, I don't get lashed, right? So what happens? I'll take my time. And then the woman dies. It turns out at the end of the day, he never got lashed.
Yeah.
He never got lashed. So is that warning considered a good warning? So Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, even though it's doubtful that you will for sure get the lashing, that's still considered a good warning and it's still a good lav. And therefore, you can say that. Okay, that's what he's saying over there. Let's just wait.
That question with the woman, if she dies, that's it? It's the end of the thing?
Well, there's nothing else you do. He can't remarry her.
Well, he still did the sin.
He's off the hook.
No. Doesn't matter. He did not actively nullify the ability to do it.
Okay.
So let's just see the commentary here. Swain above, the view that Malchus depends on whether he nullified it or didn't nullify it, understands that the negation of the positive commandment is the finalization of the prohibition's violation. You don't finalize that you've transgressed the law only after you've nullified the positive that could have fixed it up. The prohibition is thus not fully violated until the positive remedy is nullified as well. In the present case, for example, which the ones, the raper, is required to marry his victim, as forbidden to divorce her, he does not fully transgress the prohibition against divorcing until he also makes it impossible for himself to remarry her. It follows then that the warning, which must precede the basic transgression, in this case a divorce, cannot state with certainty that divorce will result in a malchus liability, since it's not certain that he will finalize the transgression by subsequently nullifying the positive commandment. Since the law is that he does receive malchus if he nullifies the positive commandment, this you must hold that an uncertain warning is indeed a valid warning. Right? It's uncertain. He may not get it by just, even if he's not doing the assay. Now, we understand if you do the assay, that was built into the system. That's not considered a doubtful warning because you got to do the assay to fix it up. If you don't, that warning will require you to do the assay. That's understood. But the question is, he may never do the assay and he may never get lashed. So let's say even if he does make the vow, we still, you know, could we lash him? He says, yeah, well, if it's a doubtful warning, we could still lash him. That is Rabbi Yochanan's position. On the other hand, Umar Safar, the other one holds, Hasra Safek Lo Shmas Hasra. A doubtful warning is not considered a warning at all, and then we could never give him lashes. And therefore, he holds, it can't be that he can not get lashed. No, he's going to get lashed. We say, either you do it now, or that's it. So the lashing comes immediately. It's got to be repaired immediately. He can't just let it ride, and he never did anything, and he doesn't get lashed. No, because for the warning to be a good warning, it has to be for sure he's going to get lashed. What do? After you divorce her, go ahead, marry her now, or you're getting lashed. There's no doubt you're getting lashed. Why does he say that? Because the warning has to be a for sure warning. And therefore, it's for sure. You're not going to trade a room with this. You can't push it out and get out of not having get lashed. You will get lashed. So since the warning must be with certainty that you'll get lashed, therefore, he holds that you have to do it right away. Okay, so let's do the comment. One second. For since that view understands the transgression itself as lacking finality without the nullification of the positive commandment, only an uncertain warning is possible in advance. There could never then be a penalty of malchus in such case, according to Reish Lakish. For according to this view, the transgression is complete immediately upon the divorce, making the transgressor liable to malchus right away. He should get it. The only way he doesn't get it is only that the transgressor has the option of substituting fulfillment of the positive commandment for the malchus if he does not immediately upon being instructed by a creditor. This opinion holds once you transgress, you get lashed. There's nothing to talk about. The only way out is if instead of the lashing, you will do the mitzvah right away. But it's a clear warning. You aren't supposed to get lashes. And the only way you get out of it, you do something to replace it, which is the assay. So it is a for sure warning because you have transgressed. There's no question you've transgressed. You have lashes coming to you. I've warned you about it and you're getting it. But the Torah gives you a second thing. If you do the assay, you'll get out of it. But it's not that it wasn't a for sure warning. It's a for sure warning and you're for sure getting lashes. The Torah gives you an extra way out by doing the assay. Yeah. So that's for sure. The other opinion is, well, I don't transgress till I make it impossible to do the positive. Mm-hmm. Well, it comes up, maybe I never ever transgressed it if I didn't do anything bad. It emerges then that those who require a definite warning necessarily hold that malchus depends on whether he fulfilled it or did not fulfill it, which means that the act of divorce has made him definitely liable for malchus. The only way is you can get out of it by the assay. The converse, however, is not true. One may hold that malchus depends on whether he fulfilled it or did not fulfill it, yet hold either position. Okay, that's getting much more complicated. I don't want to go there. Okay, anyway, that's going to be okay. Okay, okay. Now questions. Now we'll take questions, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Whoever, just decide who's going first. Go ahead. Somebody, please.
Okay, if he gets malchus immediately.
If he does not do the assay.
Right. And then later, he doesn't have to do anything else. You already got the malchus. He doesn't have to remarry the girl.
That was my question.
Well, really, he still has a positive mitzvah.
But he has the malchus.
I understand, but there still is a positive mitzvah to be done.
So has he to do it?
So if he doesn't do it, then what happens?
So he doesn't do it. He didn't do the positive. What happens when you don't put on tefillin today?
Well,
let's say
the punishment?
No punishment. There's there's no punishment for not fulfilling a positive commandment The only exception is Mila and Korban Pesach. But besides that, if you don't do a positive mitzvah, you don't get a punishment from a court. God will punish you. But
this is not the same.
Yes, it is. The Torah is saying you have a positive mitzvah to marry her. So he's not doing the positive mitzvah. Now, he transgressed the negative of her by divorcing her.
Right.
That comes with lashes. That comes with lashes. Now, if he now the only way out of the lashes is by marrying her right away. But if he doesn't, he's going to get lashed.
Okay.
Now, they can't do anything more than that to the guy.
You have to marry her.
Okay, so you go have 39 lashes. Okay, you see what 39 lashes is like. You get those welts for the rest of your life. Okay, not a good. All I'm saying, you're right. So that's what do you want? So he doesn't marry her. So he got punished. He got lashed. You know. So fine, if that's what he wants. But then again, listen. And he also did not fulfill a mitzvah. You gotta kind of believe that there is something to mitzvahs and averus.
Right.
There is something called a reward for doing a mitzvah. It's an eternal reward for doing a mitzvah. Right? So
he wants to do the mitzvah and marry you right away. No get the lashes, no get, don't have to worry about it.
That's right. That's right. That would be a smart guy. Let's put it this way. If a man, I mean, I don't know the psychologist of rapists. I do not claim to be a deep psychologist. But I would assume, I'm just assuming, a man would not rape an ugly woman to him.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody has taste. There's no such thing as an ugly woman, but everyone has taste.
Right.
You know, what you think is beautiful, another guy thinks is ugly, vice versa. A man who thinks a woman is ugly probably would not rape her, right?
Not attracted to her.
If he's not attracted to her, why is he raping her?
It's a mental condition.
Okay. No, or but it has to.
Why would anybody rape anybody?
But I'm just saying. So if he's attracted to her, then okay, if he has to marry her, he would marry her.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
So that's what.
Rabbi, why does Rabbi Yochanan have that opinion? He must have a source of proof.
I just said. Well, we're going to see. It is a sure warning. Is a warning on a doubtful situation considered a warning or not? That is the machlokes. And you could see two sides of the coin to it, right? You warned him. Yeah, that will come with a lashes penalty. One opinion says only if for sure you're getting the lashes is the warning going to be taken seriously, and therefore it's a warning. Or the other one says, no, the fact that there's the possibility, it's still a good warning. Do we have to be able to say that with definitive positive on saying yes, he will for sure get it or not? Does that make the warning less of a warning or not? That is the machlokas. That is the machlokas. And therefore, if you have to be bitlo, kimlo, kimlo, depends on does the warning have to be with certainty or does not have to be with certainty. Okay?
So, why can't we lash him if she dies? I know he didn't cause the death.
Because according to him, you do not transgress the negative punishment until it's impossible to fix it. That's his opinion. A lav shenit is a machlokas. How do we treat a lav hanita klase? Do we treat it that you have immediately transgressed the negative and it's been transgressed? Done.
Right.
Now, and therefore you should get lashed, but you can get out of it by doing the asik.
Yeah,
the other opinion say no. A lav and say by definition means you've not transgressed the lav until it's impossible to do the asik. Until I've actively done something to do that. So I didn't actively do anything. She just died. I didn't do anything. What do you want from me?
But if we just said that
there's two parts.
He has his time period to remarry her, but if she dies, no, it's impossible.
But
so he should be
again, but as long. But you can't, as long as he didn't do anything, it's a two-part process. You transgress the law, and you don't enable yourself to do the assay anymore. That's the active part. That's your maliciousness.
Well, isn't waiting by itself.
It's your maliciousness. Let me ask you a better question. What if you rape her, you divorce her, and the next second she died before you could even remarry her? Should the guy get lashed for that?
Nope.
What do you want? If you have a chance to remember. So that's what he's saying. He has to do two things. He has to do the negative and actively make the positive impossible. That's when you've We can't make you transgress unless it's your actions.
Well, let's say it's the opposite case. He waits 100 years and she's going to die eventually.
Doesn't matter. I didn't do anything for that.
He's not being lashed because he did something.
No, he's lashed for two parts.
Is he divorced her?
No. He's not lashed until he divorces her and does it in a way, does something that makes it impossible for him to remarry her. That he does the lav. That's his opinion. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. What do you want? Listen, the whole idea of a lava nikola say is quite a unique concept. The fact that God created a concept, listen, you told not to do it, you did it, you get lashed. We're straight in a cup, you know? But also, most of the time, you don't got to wait, you have no recourse, you did it, you're lashed. Don't eat treif. Are you eating treif? Bam, good, you're getting lashed. Finish. All of a sudden, Torah says, thou shalt not steal. You steal. Wait a minute, there's a way out of the... So once we see the Torah says, wait a minute, there's a way out, that means we must redefine the nature of that particular lav. It's not like any old typical lav. So now the question is, what is the mechanics of it now? Is it that you've really transgressed the lav right away, and you really should get lashed right away, but the performance assay is in the stead of the lashes? Or are we saying, no, the fact is an assay means you have not transgressed the lav right away, and only when you actively make it impossible to do the assay, and you've done that second step, then you get lashed for it. That's the way they understand it.
The person he stole from dies, he has to pay back the heirs?
That's a whole different thing. Then it's paying back the heirs. That's a monetary. See, monetary works different.
And he doesn't pay anybody.
But then again, it's... Well, that's an interesting point. I guess not. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay, I'd have to look further than that. I'm not sure exactly on that. But if he doesn't do any, but I guess paying the heirs is a way you can still fix it up. And you can't wait till everybody dies, because not everybody dies. There's always an heir. There's always an heir. You know, but let's say he dies. So we still couldn't lash him, Shelley. You know why? You know why we can't lash him? Because he said, I'll pay the next heir. I'll pay the next heir. So then what happens? Then he dies. We can't lash him after he's dead. It's okay. So you didn't get lashed. I mean, there's always ways out of it. And that's for sure true. Okay. Anyway, so that's what this machlokas depends on. The question of bitlo kimlo depends on the machlokas. Is the doubtful warning a good one or not? So therefore, if you hold a doubtful warning is not good, then we have to create the scenario of lava nitikla se where it becomes certain. If you hold a doubtful warning is not considered a warning, then the lava nitikla se must be a certain situation. If you hold a doubtful warning is a good warning, then the lava nitikla se can remain a doubtful situation. That's where one comes before the other. Where do we see that they have this machlokas if a doubtful warning is a good warning or not? Now we have to go further now. And they go according to their reasonings. The Itmar, for we learnt in a Baraisa, one of the guys says the following, Shvua she'ochel kikar se'ev, I make an oath that I will eat this bread today. That's an oath. Okay, now that's a shvua shav. Now that's a, the Torah says, thou shalt not make a false oath. That's a negative commandment. You're going to see in a minute, you don't get lashed for this if you don't fulfill this oath. And it's going to be a machlokas. Why? Okay, guy makes an oath. I'm going to eat this today. Well, you've got to eat this today. If you don't, by the day's over, you've transgressed. V'over hayom, and the day passed. Well, he didn't eat it. What's the law? Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both agree. Ain't a locket. They don't get lashed, but for different reasons. For different reasons. Now, let's think for a minute. Now, obviously, if for him to get lashed, what will have to happen? What has to happen for him to get lashed? He's got to be warned. So, when are they going to be warning him exactly? Well, I'm going to make an oath now. I'm going to make an oath that I'm not giving. So, wait a minute. We're warning you. If you're going to make this oath, you got to eat it. And if you don't eat, you're going to get lashed, right? You need that some kind of warning over there, right? It's got to be before he makes the oath, right? Not after, right? He's got, right? So the question is, but if they warn him, well, how do they know he's going to transgress this sin when they warn him?
Right afterwards.
If I got a piece of ham in front of my mouth and I'm opening my mouth, I can warn you, if you're going to eat this ham, you're going to get lashed. Just do it. Watch what's going to happen. You're going to get lashed. That's a for sure warning, yeah? Guy says, I'm going to make a vow. I'm making a vow. I'm going to eat this bread today. Well, what are we going to warn him? Don't make that vow. Because if you eat the bread, you won't get lashed. Yeah, wait. I understand, but that's not a certain thing. The guy says, well, how do you know I'm going to eat? Well, what if I eat it? Then what was the warning? Then I'm not going to get lashed. Right? We'll see. But more than that, we'll have to see. And if I don't eat, let's see. So let's see what happens. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, you know why you don't get lashed? Moving on to the next page. Mishum dahavi lav she'em bo maisa. He said, you don't get lashed because there's no action here. Remember what we said?
Yeah.
If to get lashed, you have to actively transgress. Actively transgress. So we tell you, don't eat treif. You're actively transgressing, reading the treif. When a guy makes a vow, I'm going to eat this bread. First of all he did was say words. Saying words is not an action. And what did he do? He didn't eat any bread. So all in fact, he didn't do anything.
Lashing.
You don't get lashed for not doing something, right? That's the rule. You don't get lashed unless there's an action attached with the negative. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not eat treif. Lashed. Thou shalt not be a false witness. Whatever. I don't want to go there. But anyway, yeah. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not plow your animals muzzled. And you did. That's an action. You get lashed. Here there was no action. You don't get lashed. Now, why didn't he say, you know why he doesn't get lashed? Because it's not a sure warning. Why didn't he say the reason you don't get lashed is the warning isn't with certainty? Because it could be he doesn't transgress. Because he holds that you would lash if it's with certainty. That's the point. Reish Lakish, Omer, the other Reish Lakish says, Einol doesn't get lashed. Mishum dahavi astro safek, because it's an uncertain warning. It's because the warning that can precede the vower's failure to eat the loaf on that day. In the case of one who swears to eat a loaf on a particular day, the warning that precedes his transgression is at best an uncertain one. For example, a person is warned in the morning that he had better eat the loaf of bread or else he's liable for lashes. If indeed the rest of the day passes without him eating the loaf, he will have indeed violated the prohibition against swearing falsely. He can be punished, however, only for his action or inaction immediately following the warning. As the warning must immediately precede the transgression. There's another point. You can't have a long break between a warning. If I say, don't kill this guy, and the guy waits 10 minutes and then kills him, you don't get killed, because the warning must be immediately before the transgression.
Whoa.
How can you warn a guy to not do something immediately before he doesn't do it? I can warn you before you do it not to do it, but can I warn you immediately before you don't do it to not do it? There's no saying immediately. Now, it's true that in this case, his failure to eat the loaf immediately after the warning culminates in a transgression, as it is part of an extended failure to eat the loaf that day, and that immediate failure is sufficient cause to warrant the penalty, but since the warning could not inform the person that failed to eat the loaf, immediately would certainly result in the penalty, as he might avoid the penalty by eating the loaf later in the day. The warning is no more than a questionable one, and the precondition of warning has not been fulfilled. You follow what's going on over here. True, the warning could theoretically be issued immediately before the last moment, which the person can still... What if he warns him 1 minute before the sun sets? That might be a good warning, but that's not the typical case. So therefore, it's a doubtful warning when he gives this, and therefore, havi hasra safek, v'chol hasra safek, lo shma hasra. It's considered not a certain warning. So Reish Lakish is saying it's not a certain warning. That's why you don't get lashed. Rabbi Yochanan did not say that. Why did he not say that? Because he holds an uncertain warning is a good warning. Therefore, he gives another answer. It's a law that doesn't have an action. So that is the base of our machlokes. Next time we learn, we'll see that this machlokas, which was dependent on this machlokas, is dependent on another machlokas. I don't know. You want? Can we learn on Wednesday?